The scripture readings this morning are both from the Gospel, Mark and John. And this, in both Gospels, it says, Jesus enters Jerusalem. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, Mark 11, 1 through 11. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The master needs it,' and he will send it back right away." They went and found the colt tied to a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. Then they shouted, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Don't be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand these things at first. After he was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Let's end the reading.
In a hospital visit this week, I was visiting one of our beloved members, and his family member casually asked me, "What is Palm Sunday?" And I responded something along the lines, "It is the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and it's the day we have a parade to the journey of our enlightenment, and we wave palms, and we're excited because Christ is going to restore the Davidic kingdom. And I truly believe the world would be a better place if we all gave one another parades." Right? You see where the children's sermon came from this morning. And he just kind of looked at me. He was just like, "Okay," and then kept going to his phone. And I could tell that my answer wasn't satisfactory, which is understandable. If I was not churched, or even if I'd been in church for a substantial period of time and just knew this is just what we did, is that necessarily a substantial reason to participate in Palm Sunday? I can't argue with that. I think the answer would suffice to say, no, not necessarily. But it was such a... the assumption of the question was that I could answer it in a really short amount of time. I mean, how can I casually answer the question of a sacred high holy day? It's like when somebody asks me, or if somebody were to ask me, what is breathing? And I could talk about inhalation and exhalation and what respiration is, but the truth is, breathing's a little bit more than just the mechanics of it all. As a matter of fact, in our tradition, since we come out of a Jewish tradition, we very much believe that breath itself is life, that your very breath is your spirit, that you cannot exist without it. As a matter of fact, all living things, we believe that breathe, have the gift of life and consciousness and spirit, ruach, within it. And so breath is life. How do we even begin? I mean, Good Friday, when Christ takes his last breath, what is very dramatic about that scene is not the last breath is simply the death, but that is Christ's spirit literally leaving the body. So how do I just casually mention Palm Sunday? So this really irked at me. Because we just waved palms in a processional. And if y'all don't know the meaning behind processionals in a church, it is a journey with. So whenever you see somebody walk down the aisle, any worship leader, it is a solidarity on the journey that you are partaking. And this week, y'all, we are in a journey, a dramatic, beautiful, emotional, deeply spiritual journey. I will not say that Christ died for your sins. I don't believe in substitutionary atonement in that way. You all have had plenty of people die for you. Ancestors have come and gone before so that you can sit in these very pews. We had the young Stephon Clark die for black and brown people a few days ago. I don't need Christ to die for me. But I do need Christ to show me a way on how to live. I do need Christ to give me good news, because as we enter throughout this week where today we sing hosannas because we are an Easter people and we know that God's kingdom will be restored, that we know there will be a brighter day, this week has been filled with Good Friday. Even yesterday, as we had the protest for gun violence in our schools, when we had a contingent that was in Redwood City, and I would have loved to have joined you all. I had a five-year-old's birthday party, and I don't want to meet an honorary five-year-old when I get home. So I had to participate in that. But this week is about journeying into that which we can change in the world. The March for Our Lives, DACA, the housing crisis. When I was driving home yesterday, I saw another trailer getting towed by Palo Alto, which means that is another family experiencing homelessness. There are children in those trailers, and even if they're not children, if you have grown people in those trailers. This week is about dealing with the complexities of life and knowing that these negative things, these evils that exist, do not win, because we are an Easter people. And that this is not a passive week, church family. We are not simply watching and recounting and retelling the story of Christ, but we are living that story with Christ this week. So we will wave our palms with hosannas today. And on Maundy Thursday, if y'all come to the Seder meal, or whenever you break bread, I hope you come, but if you do not, when you break bread at your table, remember the Friday that is to come, the Friday of darkness, the Friday where the world thinks that it won, where we think that there will be a wall built, where we think that lives of color, black lives, do not matter, where we think that those who are poor will remain poor, where we think that redlining, which causes ghettos and unequal distribution of housing and income, wins, where we think that we might break out in a world war, where we think that our loved ones may not be healed, where we think, because we have the power to change it. Christ's resurrection is a reminder that death does not win. death even itself, and not just the literal form of death, not just your ruach leaving your physical body, but also the death that happens when I saw that tow truck carry that trailer. The death that happens when we have one more person incarcerated. The death that happens for those who cannot pay their bills on time. There are multiple forms of death. You know them because you too have lived them. And so this week is a search for our spirits and our hearts, for that which we value, not just holding on to our values, because if you notice in our Sunday text, folks thought that Christ was going to restore the Davidic kingdom, and it was not so. So then the question, the panic becomes throughout all of Good Friday and Maundy Thursday and Holy Saturday, the panic becomes, well, what did Christ come to save? I don't understand. The kingdom was supposed to be restored. Rome was supposed to be overthrown. Life was supposed to flourish for the Hebrew people as it was in that greatest days, the times of David. Christ came to save, but not that. And so too we have come to restore and mend the world. And quite possibly not in the way we all think. And so I want us, as we, a strong congregation that holds true to our values, remember that our values are limited to that which we value. So how we value and look at one another, how we value and understand our environment, how we value and understand our neighbors living in trailers, how we value and understand gun laws in this country, because that protest happened because too many people's lives have not been valued. And when you are not valued, you are considered to be expendable. There's no, if you're not like quasi-expendable, you know, that's not really a thing. You either are or you are not. And so this week, because we are an Easter people, we acknowledge that we, this earth, all of creation, is not expendable, no more. No more. And so we must search ourselves with depth and with breadth. Go deeper than our values, because our values are still those nice little neat, I know y'all love Excel spreadsheets. I got enough engineers in the room. Nice little neat columns and rows, right? But God's love is so wide and so deep that it goes far beyond the container of our values. I'm not asking you to necessarily agree with everybody you meet. I'm not asking you to give up your ability to discern or think critically. Quite, in fact, I'm asking you to do the exact opposite, to think incredibly critically about what you believe, to challenge and discern yourself. But doing so, being loving and respectful, knowing that somebody else has a breadth that you cannot reach, a depth and a wisdom that they might be able to teach you, because you have to see their humanity, even if you don't agree with them, which is so hard. It is arguably one of the hardest things you can do. But that, my friends, is what helps to save and transform the world. If you notice, throughout Christ's life, he does not turn down anybody's humanity, even those who wanted to kill him, who did, succeeded. And the world could not recognize it. And so, on a cross, he died. So I want us this week, as we wave hosannas, because we know help will soon come, to think about and nurture the help within us. And know that it comes right back to the church. Because if you notice at the end of our scripture reading this morning, in Mark, not in John. John was written way later, but Mark is the first gospel. It's the earliest text that we have. Mark 11:11 says, "He then entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. So right after Christ had his parade, right after Jerusalem recognized his royalty, he went into the temple. And so this week, as church is complex, it has all folks in society have a lot of feels, myself, y'all included. But Christ went back into the temple to restore it. And so may we go this week also knowing that we are to restore this temple, knowing that it helps to restore the world. So go in peace this Holy Week. Go in reverence this Holy Week. It is the highest holy days of the year. And on Easter, we will party, friends. Oh, we will party so hard. I hope you party on Easter. I really do. But for now, we must take the walk of the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, and not in a substitutionary way, not in a sacrificial way, because your life is valued. God didn't need to kill his own son, not like that, but a way of dying to that which separates us from our truest selves, dying to thinking that not honoring and valuing the lives of others is okay. That's what we're dying to. So may we do it with courage and with gentleness, but also with really, really firm conviction, so it can be made so. Amen.